Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Coward, why we get anxious and what we can do about it. Tim Clare has suffered from anxiety and panic attacks for over a decade. At their worst, his attacks would see him curled on the floor, screaming to his wife for help. When they became more than he and his family could manage, Tim made a promise to himself. He would try everything he could do to get better, every method and medicine. It is the subject of a new book called Coward. It is by Tim Clare. Delighted to be joining us live on the line from the UK. Tim himself. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. For those who don't understand what panic attacks and crippling anxiety are, just talk me through it, please, if you would.
Yeah, so panic attacks are, they're more than just, you know, getting worried or getting in a flap. A panic attack has got a very kind of, it's got a proper definition in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, as they call it, the DSM-5. You've got to meet a certain set of criteria, but it's basically this, for anyone who's never been through one, it can be really difficult to imagine what it must be like to go through, but it's this feeling that you can't breathe. You can feel your heart pounding, you're sweating, and this terrible feeling of dread that's going through you. I mean, a lot of people, when they suffer from panic attacks, at first don't realise they're a panic attack sufferer. A lot of men especially will present at A&E thinking they're having a heart attack. Right. And, you know, that's the level of what you're experiencing, right? And some people have panic attacks that they'll just wake up in the middle of the night. They'll be woken from sleep with these symptoms, no obvious trigger at all, and have this feeling of dread, and they might feel like they're having a heart attack. They might also feel like they're going mad or having a stroke. That's often what people think at first, and it's only later when a doctor sees them, they go, oh, that's a panic attack. And severe anxiety, you know, is kind of just what it sounds like. It can be everything from, you know, constantly worrying about things, and when you deal with the one thing you thought was worrying you, you still feel worried, to, you know, intense feelings of fear and paranoia.
So, I mean, was this something that came on you sort of suddenly, or had you had, if you like, been having mini panic attacks? I mean, I suppose your entire teenage life is one big panic attack, isn't it? Really, you could argue that, you know, when you, as you go through. But was there any inkling that you were going to be hit by these crippling attacks?
I'll tell you what, actually, you know, when I was little, when I was a child, my mum would describe me as sort of fearless. You know, I'd go...
Ah, right then. Well, that is interesting, because once again, I have a phone number go off on me. Let me just see if he comes back on this one. Otherwise, I'm going to have to hit this button.
This is TRE. TRE.
Unlocking the mysteries of everyday life with Dr. Red Decker.
There's never a bus when you need one.
And then three buses come at once. I mean, my question is this. Does anyone know the answer to the secret?
Car, bike and home insurance from Línea Directa. The secret, it's not just the price. Call Línea Directa on 919 181 130. That's 919 181 130. And get the best price today.
It's getting bigger and bigger. It's a lobster.
That's right. Lobster's getting bigger. With a monster load more data on our small, medium and large plans for the same great value lobster price.
You're my hero.
You've moved to Spain, so move to Lobster. The all-in English mobile with double or more data than before and unlimited calls and texts in Spain to the UK and other countries from just €12 for a ginormous 18 gigabytes. Visit lobster.es. Or call our British team for free on 1661.
The new Talk Radio Europe app is available to download for Apple, Android and BlackBerry devices, so you can take TRE with you wherever you go. Download the app from our website, TRE.radio. TRE.radio.
It's Good News Week. Someone's fallen out somewhere. Idle gossip everywhere. But we don't care. It's Good News Week. There's a Euro Weekly everywhere, full of good news for you to share. Someone's found a way to give a happy life we do live. It's Good News Week. Have you heard the news? Euro Weekly's everywhere. Pick up the Euro Weekly and put a smile on your face. Every Thursday, it's Good News Week.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Let's talk.
Let's talk.
John Brown.
Let's talk. And we're back with Tim Clare. Tim, you were describing how you were fearless as a child.
Yeah, so I was known as being like really, really fearless and, you know, always getting into trouble, falling into rock pools, falling into ponds. So it wasn't something that really hit me until I was an adult in my 20s, I think. Like it took a while, and then it started coming on and it got worse and worse after I left university.
So when did you, I mean, you, how were you sort of managing it? Were you aware that something was wrong? Did you think it was something out of the ordinary? Or did you, you know, because obviously, you know, you're a young man and this is happening to you. What were your 20s like then in that case?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think like there's a lot, everyone has like these times in their life where they feel stressed. And I think it's amazing. There was that Dostoevsky, I think it was, who said, man is a creature that can get used to anything. And I think for a lot of us, you just kind of go, well, I'm having a difficult month at work. I've got this stress. Oh, I'm moving house. It must be that. That must have hit me particularly hard. And so I rationalized it away for a long time. And I think, oh, if I just get through this next month, then I'll be all right. And I also would go out and in the evenings I'd relax by drinking and things like that. So I had these ways of that weren't very healthy of unwinding. And I'd always think, well, it's just this month that's stressful and then I'll be over it. I never thought I had a condition, you know, that I needed proper help with.
So when were you diagnosed with having the panic attacks and it was something that could be treated? And was there a straw that broke the camel's back moment then?
Yeah, like I think when you start having panic attacks every week, and then eventually I was maybe having several every day. And like a panic attack can go on from like 20 minutes to an hour, even like with this feeling of like you're pinned to the floor, you're kind of screaming. It's really, really intense sometimes. Not for everyone, but other people can have them and they're really intense, but you wouldn't know looking at that person that they're having a panic attack. They're like frozen in the spot and they're completely silent. Mine were very explosive and very sort of very humiliating. You know, in many ways, I looked like a toddler having a, you know, having a big screaming fit. It was really embarrassing. I used to like stuff a towel in my mouth to cover it up because at one level I was screaming for help. On the other hand, I was like an adult. I didn't want to embarrass myself or inconvenience other people. So and eventually, you know, I went to my GP, but I think, you know, I know lots of men can be sensible, but I think like many men who struggle to talk about their feelings, I kind of had to be taken, ironically, kicking and screaming to the doctor, because I was just like, no, I can tell you what I'm stressed about. I don't have a problem. And then you go to the GP and they sort of tell it you straight. And I remember being told in no uncertain terms, look, you're not well.
So you decided to bite the bullet and seek out some treatments, and you basically decided to if you like, run the whole spectrum, the whole gamut of possible treatments, everything from hypnosis to extreme diets. What, I mean, why did you decide to take this approach?
Well, because the basic stuff that you get, you know, that they suggest the first line treatments, which are sort of medication and therapy, normally CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, they are prescribed in the first instance because they're the best evidence. You know, they have a really good evidence base behind them for helping people, but they don't help everyone. You know, I think it's approximately one in four people will not get better even if you give them both, right? So I had to look at everything else as well, because I was like, you know, I know people who've, you know, had six sessions of CBT and they've got better. I was not getting better. So I was like, right, I know there must be stuff out there. I know there are people who spent their entire lives researching this. And I was reading the same articles everyone else does, right? That say in the paper, this new treatment for anxiety has come out. It's going to be revolutionary in 5 years. And I just thought, I haven't really got 5 years. I have a daughter who I love very much, and she needs her dad now. So I thought, I'll just go straight to the researchers and say, what do you know? What do I need to do?
And was there presumably a wide variety of treatments and ideas on how to treat the subject?
Yeah, loads. And I should say, like, one of my rules was I wanted to go for anything that had, like, some science behind it. So nothing too balmy. I didn't want to go for anything that was, like either really expensive or, like, obviously a little bit out there. And don't get me wrong, like, there are some things that I looked into. I spoke to a reverend with, like, a background in theology, and I was like, you know, I spoke to people of faith, and I said, like, does your belief help you with anxiety? Because I thought it probably would. But those are things that, you know, funnily enough, have been studied scientifically. People have looked and seen, you know, does someone having a belief in a higher power that's protecting them make them feel less anxious? So that was the main thing, is I wanted to go and I wanted to find stuff where people had done scientific tests. I wanted to speak to neuroscientists, geneticists, people like that, because I thought these are the people who've been doing the work, who've been spending years on it, who've written the papers, and they're going to be able to be the people who can help me.
And did they, I mean, were you much of a science buff before this, by the way,
no,
Tim?
Right, yeah. No, not at all. My background was a novelist, right? I'd never read a scientific paper in my life.
So, I mean, that must have been a different language as well for you then. Or did you suddenly find yourself gaining reams of knowledge, or were you just, like, hit by this tsunami of theorem?
Oh, my goodness me. It was like, I read over 1,000 peer-reviewed papers writing this book. It is quite a trip to realise. And, I sort of cracked my knuckles. And I think with the sort of arrogance of a complete beginner, I was like, well, how hard can it be? How hard can, like, all genetics be? And there's a term for this in psychology, actually. They call it the illusion of explanatory depth. And it's this idea that we kind of imagine we understand something from the outside, and then as soon as you have to explain it to someone else, you realize you really don't. And I thought, I know what a gene is. I know what that is. And it's like, I think any parent knows this as well. As soon as your child asks you to explain rain, you go, I understand it. Here's the water. And then when they ask you a second question, why is that? You very quickly realize you don't understand quite a lot of the details at all. So a lot of what I did was going to speak to experts and having them say to me, no, Tim, that's not how it works at all. Right, I'm going to sit you down and explain it to you like you're five.
Right, that's what most people do most of the time anyway. Talking about people who were five, you mentioned that you had, you know, you had a young child and, you know, you had your partner, your wife. What were you like to live with during this year, by the way?
I think a nightmare for most of it, to be honest. And I think I talk about that in the book, like how it affects partners and children of people with severe anxiety and panic attacks really badly. And I don't need to tell that to anyone who suffers from anxiety, because that kind of terrible guilt, it's the same with depression. You feel like you're a burden on the people around you. You want to withdraw from them, you know, because you don't want them to see you like that, but also you don't want to inflict it on them. And at the same time, I was like doing all sorts of fairly sort of radical lifestyle changes. Some of them were positive, but some of them, you know, didn't work. In some things made me worse, which was like quite an achievement in itself, considering how bad I was. So I think it was a rocky year for my wife and my daughter, definitely.
And also, were you much of a runner? Exercise? People will say exercise will clear all things. You know, get out hiking, go for a run, hit the gym, you know, do Pilates. Was that your thing, Tim, before?
No, my idea of exercise, like my workplace at home was 3 meters from my bed. Like my idea of
I absolutely applaud you, Tim.
No, it was like I hadn't done any exercise before, but I went to speak to this guy, Dave Thomas, who was like, he owned his own gym and he'd done 20,000 hours as a personal trainer. And he taught me through a lot of this. And I went from not doing any exercise at all to I lost 3 stone and I ran my first marathon last year. So like I completely changed that. Now, did I enjoy running at first? No, I was so angry while I was doing it. I hated it. It was horrible. And interestingly, a lot of the research, when you dig into it, shows that exercise isn't necessarily that great for anxiety. Most of the research that we look at that you'll get quoted in the newspapers, the people who sign up for research about exercise tend to quite enjoy exercise.
Yeah.
So the people who don't like it aren't included in the research, and it doesn't take into account that most people who don't exercise because it makes them feel miserable.
So what have you learnt then? I mean, without coming out of all American, what's your journey taken you to? And you know, are you able to deal with the anxiousness and the panic attacks? And also, why did you call the book Coward? Because, if anything, you're very, very brave for doing what you did.
Well, thank you. I'll deal with your first question first. I've been panic attack free for over 2.5 years now. So it genuinely changed my life. Like, if you have been having panic attacks every week and sometimes every day, like, there's just loads of stuff you can't do. And you know, I still experience like anxiety, but like, so I hope does every person listening and every human being. Like, it's a human experience. What isn't normal is experience so much worry that you can't do anything, that you can't live a normal life, that you can't go out and do the things you enjoy. What I learned is that there's not one cure that everyone can do and 100% of those people will get better. What we have is a series of different things. And just like when you go outdoors and it's cold, you don't go, what should I put on? A coat or some woolly gloves, or a woolly hat, or a scarf. You could put on all of those things, and they'll all work together to keep you warm, right? That's the same as beating anxiety. Exercise is good. Changing your diet so you're having sort of like less, like loads of sugar in. You reduce like the sugar so you're not getting these big blood sugar spikes. Maybe you can do things like I know people always take the mickey and think this is faddish, but I personally found it super useful to go do a bit of swimming in very cold water. There is some science backing it up, but I really enjoyed it. I found it very funny. I was a big wimp about it, and then I'd get in and I'd start going, oh, and that made me laugh. And I think laughter is really good. Laughter is kind of the opposite of anxiety. And so there was all sorts of things like that. But I think also writing it all down, I think like fundamentally, and I think this is under, you can't get anywhere without doing this. And I say this in the book, but I think you can't beat anxiety until you feel like somebody gets what you're going through, until you feel understood, until you've had that point of being able to explain it to someone and someone hears everything you've been through and says, oh, that sounds really difficult. And you go, that's right. You understand. You see me. You get it. I think once you hit that moment, then everything else change is almost inevitable after that. And you can put all the other things into place. But I think until you've been heard, until you've been listened to, it's really difficult. I called it Coward because I sort of wanted to reclaim the word a little bit. Like, I don't think there's any coward is a term that we've used to shame people for years. In sometimes in history, it's been enough to have someone executed, but there's nothing wrong with being afraid. Like, human fear has kept human beings alive, and it's kept animals alive for years. It's how we've evolved. It's what we've evolved to do. So I think, you know, for me, we can learn to be proud of our cowardice a little bit and embrace that part of us.
The book is called Coward, Why We Get Anxious and What We Can Do About It. It's by Tim Clare, who we've been speaking to today. Tim, if people want to find out more information about you or about the book, are you on the social medias? Where can they find you online?
Yes, yeah, so on Twitter, you can find me at Tim Clare Poet. That's Tim Clare, C-L-A-R-E, Poet.
The book is called Coward, Why We Get Anxious and What We Can Do About It. It's by Tim Clare, who we've been speaking to this morning. Tim, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.